You're listening to The Record on KUOW. I'm David Hyde.
I'm Marcy Silman. For every five male computer scientists, only one is a woman. The University of Washington has a higher than average number of women majoring in computer sciences, but still the number's pretty low. Why? University of Washington professor Sapna Cherian thinks stereotypes keep women away from the field. Sapna Cherian wanted to find out more about it, so she tuned to her students for help.
We asked students to simply describe computer science majors, and we just had them write down their answers. And they said things like, mostly guys, white, sometimes Asian, don't take showers, socially awkward, very obsessed and focused on technology. So it was kind of this image of, I think what we call the computer geek kind of image. Yeah, so that came up as one of the strong archetypes of what a computer scientist is.
Where does that kind of a stereotype come from?
I think it's a lot of things. I think the media has a big role to play in this. So if you think about who's always the tech guy on TV shows, first of all, it's always a guy. And second of all, it's usually someone who's a little bit awkward, who doesn't dress very well, who's a little disheveled. So that image, I think comes out there a lot. And one of my favorite examples is the TV show Big Bang Theory.
I was just thinking of that as you were talking, there's three nerds.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it's interesting because even the women on that show, there's kind of two types of women. There's like the Penny character, who's not the computer scientist. She's like the opposite. She's a little bit ditzy. And
that's the babe across the
hall,
right?
Yes, exactly. And then there are the women who are the engineers, and they don't look like her at all, right? They're nerdy. They fit that image completely. And so it kind of creates this divide. Like, if you're going to be in engineering, if you're going to be like the genius type, even if you're a woman, you have to fit that image.
So really, you think that a stereotype like this has an influence beyond, I say that's what it looks like, but it might deter me if I don't want to be that?
Yeah, exactly. So, and it's not even so much if you don't want to be that, but it's if you don't think that you are like that, then you might not think that you can succeed in that field. So you might have this impression that you have to be like that to be good at the field. And there's a really good quote by a student at Carnegie Mellon in a book that I read about their computer science department, that she said, oh my gosh, this isn't for me. I don't dream and code like they do. So she had this image that to be good at computer science, you have to be the type of person who's just going to dream and code and think about programming all the time. And since she's not like that, she felt like it wasn't going to be for her.
It's fascinating. I'm talking with University of Washington professor Sapna Cherian. You say that women and girls are socialized away from technology. Mm-hmm. How so?
Well, I think from a very young age, the society assumes that some people are going to be better at technology than other people. And you can see that in, the books that children read about who gets to do what. A lot of times when you see children's books, you see the women are portrayed as like mothers or in kind of caregiving positions, nurses, and the men are often portrayed like construction workers, firemen, and so they get to work more with things. Women get to work more with people, and so I think girls start getting that message very early that they should be more interested in careers that have to do with caretaking or nurturing, and men get the message that they should be interested in things that have to do with objects and people and technology.
Well, we're living in the 21st century. Mm-hmm. We talk about digital natives at this point. I have a 19-year-old son who is a digital native. Mm-hmm. So hasn't the rise of or the pervasiveness of technology lessened this somewhat?
That's a really interesting observation, because I think, 10 years ago, people used to say, all we need to do is get technology in the hands of girls. If we can just get them to play video games and, use their phones and learn about how to computer games, then we can just eliminate this gender gap. But it's actually not happened. And I think the reason it hasn't happened is because what we've learned now is just because you're a consumer of technology doesn't mean you necessarily want to produce it. So we're all using iPhones. We're all using technology all the time. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we want to go back and program it. So there's that disconnect there.
Well, so how do you change that?
So what we do in my lab is we really look at how do we change the image of who is a computer scientist and what computer scientists do so that we can allow women and girls to feel like they can also belong in the field. And there are ways to change the stereotype, and they're actually not as hard as you might think. So what we've done in my work is we've shown that exposing women and girls to like a computer science environment, like a classroom or a company that doesn't fit the current preconceived notions about what it would look like. So that would be, so if we ask people, what do you associate with typical computer science environments, they'll say things like Star Trek posters, soda cans, electronics. And if you take an environment and you show them a different environment, and, you know, a lot of computer science environments don't look like that. They look like these beautiful high-tech, you know, lots of light and cafeteria gym kind of buildings, and you show them that, that they can say to themselves, oh, I could actually imagine myself working here. I feel like I could fit with the people in this company or in this classroom.
I know that you've spent a lot of time in the businesses of Silicon Valley, mm-hmm. which is sort of the belly of the beast, so to speak. And so you're saying they are beautiful. They're not full of Star Trek posters and guys with socks and sandals and greasy hair.
Right. I think one of the messages of this work is that students' perceptions are very powerful, and these perceptions are not accurate. So there are some tech companies, and I know this because the reason I started this work is because I visited a tech company that to me did fit this image. So there was, they named their conference rooms after Star Trek Star Trek ships or something. And I remember thinking, and they also happen to have no women working in that office. And I remember thinking, I wonder if these things are related. The fact that their environments look like this, could this be something that's driving women away, or some women away from this company? And so that's what actually got me started on this. But then I also visited many other companies. So I visited like Google, Adobe, and they didn't look like that at all. They were beautiful. They were colorful. They were fun, you know. And when I felt my own experience of walking through these companies and realizing that I was drawing these conclusions about what the people were like in these companies, I decided that I needed to study it.
Well, so Subna, you're a professor at the University of Washington. This is a university with not just a massive computer engineering program, but with a fairly high percentage of women enrolled in this program. Why here? Why is it so popular with women here?
Well, I think, first of all, this computer science department is doing an excellent job. So diversity is a very prominent goal for them, and they've done a lot. They put a lot of resources and time and energy into trying to make sure that their curriculum is fair, that they're going out there talking to high schools and teachers. And so they've done a lot to draw women and girls in. For my own personal kind of research thing that I like to note is that if you go to their building, it's actually really amazing. It doesn't look like what I think students would associate with a stereotypical computer science environment. And so I think, you know, just having a department that takes trying to make people feel welcome, all kinds of people feel welcome, has made a real difference.
You and I are two women sitting around talking about this. Why does it matter to the greater world if more women are involved in computer sciences or computer engineering?
Yeah, I think there's really two things that are important. And the first one is that computer science jobs are among the highest status, the most lucrative. Computer scientists are in many ways the modern architects of our society. They have a lot of power to kind of shape the way that our society is going to go. And so women are potentially missing out on jobs that would be otherwise very good for them. If we think about, we want to close the pay gap, one of the things that we need to think about is getting women into jobs that pay well. And computer scientists are, you know, making a lot of money compared to a lot of other professions.
The second reason that it's important for women to do this?
Yeah, the second reason is that I think we want more women at the table when we think about the computer science as a profession that is trying to change the way that we design society. So there's a lot of really good examples of things that have been designed by engineers and people in medicine and things like that that were not taking the entire population into account, and then ended up having negative consequences. So, for example, when airbags were first implemented into cars in the 70s, they ended up injuring and even killing lots of women and children because they were designed for like a larger male body type. And people have argued that if they had had a woman on their design team, the design team was all men, that they might have remembered, not only the woman would have reminded them, but perhaps the other men would have seen the woman and remembered that they were supposed to be designing for a broader population.
That's sort of like in medical research, that a lot of the tests have been done with sort of average age men, not for older people, younger people, more specifically for women.
Exactly, like heart valves and everything like that. And I think medicine is a really great example, because medicine is a field that, you know, used to be male dominated, now is about 50% women in med school. And as a field diversifies, that field ends up expanding and being able to design for a broader population, and I think becomes a better field as they diversify.
Well, Subna Tyrion, thank you so much for coming by and talking about this with me.
Thank you. It's been great.
Subna Tyrion's a professor at the University of Washington. You can find out more about her research on the impact of stereotype sets at our website, kuow.org. It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.